your Bible, turn with us to the book of Mark, Mark's Gospel, chapter 13, and then I want to read some scriptures in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. Amen. I've got me a amen corner over here, and they ask could they set up here on one condition you can, and that's that you shout amen every now and then. Amen. I don't mind a bit for folks talking while I preach, as long as they're talking to me and the good Lord. Amen. Amen. Other than that, we may have problems. Amen. Mark chapter 13, the words of our Lord, starting with the 32nd verse. Familiar scriptures, I know. Jesus said, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." Turn, if you would, to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5 says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day, and we are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." Amen. That scripture in the fourth verse, the latter part of verse 4, says that that day should overtake you as a thief. That day should overtake you as a thief. Would you raise your hands, ask God to help us? Father,
God, that you would talk to us. I felt like that you would. Felt like that you did earlier, God. I pray that you'd forgive us for our failures, faults, and thoughts, sins, and shortcomings. I'd like to be able, God, in this last day to warn your people and to help them. Encourage us, God, and we'll give you the praises.
Let all the church say amen. How many's going to help me preach a little while tonight? Amen. I want to read these scriptures again back in the book of Mark, not for the sake of boredom, but just to try to stir your heart. Jesus said, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." I want to preach tonight, if the Lord had helped me, from these scriptures, of what I'm calling the watchman's last watch. Amen. The watchman's last watch. In this scripture text here, it parallels with a lot of the others in the book of Matthew, the book of Luke, and even over in the book of John. But in these scriptures, Jesus was and is preparing his disciples for his going away. And in one place, I believe it was in the book of John, he even told them that it was expedient or it was necessary for him that he go, for them that he go away. And I said he's preparing his disciples. That's what we are. We are followers of Christ. Can you say amen? So not only was he preparing those hand-selected men that he had right there in his immediate presence, but I feel like that he was also reaching to me and you, for he knew where that this word would reach into this end time day. And as he is going away, and as he did go away, he committed unto them, and he committed unto us a responsible trust. He laid a trust in these men's lap, but could I say to you tonight, the same trust that he laid to the early church is he left to the latter church. Amen. If you're in this church, and I'm talking about the body of Christ, you may feel, you may read the Bible sometime and think, man, Jesus really spoke directly to those men and left a commission to them, but that same commission reads to me and you. Can you say amen? And he invested with a power necessary to carry on during his absence. Amen. Did you hear what I said? He invested in them men. He gave unto them men, and he gave unto me and you. They're really, and I hope you don't take my preaching too offensive tonight, but there really is no excuse for a child of God to say, I can't do it. God invested in me and you as his church of this last day the power necessary to carry on while he's away, to be about his business. Can you say amen? If you look there in Mark chapter 13 in the 34th verse, the Bible said that he gave authority to his servants. He gave authority. He didn't give them the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. He gave authority to his servants and to every man his work. Now you have your work that you're supposed to do, but it's the work that you and I are supposed to do is the work that he gave us to do. Can you say amen? So he gave authority to his servants and to every man his work. And then he said this, and commanded the porter. The porter is simply the gatekeeper, or if you will, the doorkeeper. He commanded the porter to watch. I feel like preaching a little while. That was the command. He gave the authority. He gave us a job to do, and he commanded to work. I mean, the porter, the gatekeeper, the doorkeeper, he commanded every one of them to watch. The command given to all, what I say unto you, I say unto all. There's not a one in this building that's exempt from what I'm preaching tonight. From my young amen corner all the way back. Come on now. Help me, boys. Amen. Every one of us is commanded to watch. Amen. Come on, help me preach. This word watch means to be awake. It pertains to, you've heard the word, they kept a prayer vigil or a candle vigil. Come on now. Amen. It means to be attentive, to heed, to be on the lookout, to take necessary measures of precaution, to keep on guard, or to observe. Amen. To be on this watch, to be on the watch, to be on the lookout, to be paying attention to. We don't have time for not a single one of our members. And God, it's against the will of God. I'll just go so far to say it's an absolute sin against God and against the church, against the brethren, for a one of us to allow the drowsy sleepiness of this world in this late hour to get a hold of us. It is a very dangerous thing for me or you, either one, for you, mama, for you, daddy, for you, brother, you, sister, Sunday school teacher, pastor, song leader, musician. It is a dangerous thing for us in this watch to become unwatchful. Could I remind you that the Bible said, be sober, be vigilant. Why in the world does he tell us that? There is an adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about. He ain't playing games. He didn't come by just to have a little chat with you. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It has already been exhorted and warned to our young folks about the dangers of this world. If we're not careful, mama and daddy, a few years will slip by and you'll be given in a tearful testimony and prayer request for your children have been pulled out into the world simply because as a watchman you did not watch, you did not observe, and you allowed the thief to come in and he came to devour every one of us. Amen. According to the Bible, the reading of the Bible throughout in the Old Testament and even into the New Testament times, there was four watches. Jesus said, watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. In studying this, the even watch started at 6 o'clock p.m., went to around 9 o'clock that evening. The midnight watch ran, of course, from 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock. The cock crowing started at midnight and went under 3 in the morning. And then the morning watch come from 3 until 6 in the morning. I feel like we're in the last watch. You see, the church has been watching for Christ's return. Every sense that he first left. Amen. It whenever that they watched him be taken away, just in a matter of a few short probably years, and the men in the Bible, and the apostles, and Peter, and James, and John, and then Saul of Tarsus, whose later name was changed to Paul, and he became converted, almost all of them, the overriding, underlying theme of the New Testament is the Lord is coming back. The Lord is coming back. The Bible speaks, if you'll preach with me, the Bible speaks of the, quote, last days, and it began in Acts chapter 2. The prophet Joel prophesied, and he said, in the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and he said, this is that prophet Joel spoke about. And so the beginning of the terminology of the last days. You say we're in the last days today, and rightfully so. But if we could look back, amen, on the glancing of the scriptures, if the last days started, amen, back in the day of Pentecost, almost 2,000 years ago, and Paul and preached, and Peter and them men preached, the day of the Lord is at hand. If they wrote it to the churches in that day, how much more nigh are we in this last hour? I believe the early church, I believe they watched, if you will, in the sixth and the ninth hour. I believe as they came in, they watched from the ninth to the twelfth or the midnight hour. Could it have been in the early days, amen, of Christianity, that they watched in the cock crowing from the midnight hours of the dark ages, amen, into the turn of the century? And I feel like I may be wrong, but I feel like from the days of Azusa Street, it's from the third hour in the morning
to the sixth hour when I was but a boy. Brother John Canada preached, and he preached, we're in the 11th hour. And I heard him preach when I was grown, and he preached, we're in the 11th 30 hour. Amen. How many knows at daybreak there's going to be a great advent? It's going to take place, and it's the advent that the church has always been looking for. I wonder tonight, are we watching? Are we prepared for this great day that me and you are going to live to see?
Would you raise a hand? Feel his presence hovering near here. Leonard Ravenhill, in his book, Revival God's Way, he has a picture there in the front five pages of his book. And it's of a guard, or a sentry, if you will. The title of the inscription underneath this picture is The Sleeping Sentry. That picture shows a man on a castle. He's out like on a little outcropping, if you will. And there's like a rail here. He's got a trumpet in his hand. And he's looking outward. The picture takes it all in. You can barely see the castle behind him. He's the watchman for that time. You can see, coming from the horizon, a vast army. But the picture depicts this sentry has fallen asleep. He's laying over the rail. The trumpets drop down, and the enemy is advancing. I feel like in this last hour that a many of a preacher, as well as a many of a parent, amen, as the enemy has advanced, we are that sleeping sentry. Instead of being on the guard and the lookout and observing, amen, and being careful to watch every move the devil makes, we've listened to the lullabies of this world. Amen, we've been swayed by the music and by the movement of this world. Amen, how in the name of heaven did we ever get from being a holiness group of people invested with the power that we are so weak and anemic and always contemplating backsliding and thinking of going back? How did we ever get from a mighty army that stood when Ezekiel prophesied to the wind and the Spirit came upon them and they stood upon their feet, a mighty and exceeding mighty army before God? How did we ever get from that place to where the cowardliest, amen, backslid us, hearts turned back into Egypt? How did we ever get from desiring the fruits of the promised land to hungering for the cucumbers and the meeks and leeks and the onions of Egypt? How did we ever get there? I tell you how we got there. As a watchman in the last watch, we have fallen asleep. Did somebody say amen? How did we ever get in America, in the Bible Belt, to we're having to defend, quote, marriage? Listen to me, mama. Listen to me, daddy. If you don't stay awake, your little boy will come in. Having decided he wanted to live, to be politically correct in an alternate lifestyle. And if you ain't mighty careful, you will embrace that. It's a little quiet. It's a little quiet. And you'll choose to fall out with the preacher and the good Bible and embrace a lie from the devil. Amen. You think it won't? I'm going to prophesy to you. I guarantee you. But time, if time tarries, that spirit will try your children, and that spirit will try you. Feel the Holy Ghost. I know we ain't going at a rapid pace, but I'm a feeling God talk to us tonight. We must be If the last days began at Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, we must be in the fourth watch. Could you say amen? I feel like if spiritually you could get out of your hubbub and rat race and you could get alone with God for a few days and seek the face of God, as the preacher that was here Friday night told me, not in boasting and bragging, but talking about having faith in God. And he said he fasted for 18 days. And as I told about Brother Ely going to the mountains and praying, even to the God of heaven came by. If we could get alone with God, we would one time hear the words that the Spirit of God moved on Jeremiah in Jeremiah 51 and 12. And Jeremiah, the Lord moved on him, and Jeremiah said, make the watch strong. Set up the watchman. Make the watch strong. We would one time hear Isaiah cry, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? We would hear Ezekiel say, son of man, I have made thee a watchman on the wall one more time. But we have lullabied and drifted off and pay no attention and contemplate again the turning back and entertain thoughts that it's just too hard and it's just too tough when we're in the land of the blessed and we've been spoiled and we've been blessed that we're almost beyond any endurance. But I can hear Paul as he looks at young Timothy and he said, Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of a preacher. Our young folks can't handle that kind of hard preaching. Hogwash. If they can't take it, they can't make it. Amen. This ain't hard. Amen. Trying to save a soul from the pits of hell. That ain't hard. You don't know what hard is until the devil gets you in his grips. Then you'll find out what hard living's all about. Would you raise your hands again? Ask God to help us. We can read through the Bible and hear James saying the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The coming of the Lord, as almost 2,000 years ago, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Show me one good spirit field and we've got them. We got spirit filled people that are anemic, powerless. The devil tells them this and the devil tells them that. But I feel like if you was really spirit filled, that the Holy Ghost, I feel him breathing on me, he'll tell you everything what thus saith the Lord. I don't mind to tell you, church. I hope you can handle my preaching tonight. I don't mind to tell you. I get a little bit uneasy when you come back in and you talk so much of how much more the devil has battled you than God has blessed you. If we are baptized in the Holy Ghost and full of the Spirit of God, I feel like as we draw near to this end time day that the Spirit of God is telling me and you and encouraging me and you that whenever He comes, Sister Thelma, we'll be able to stand. The allegory, amen, the victorious example, the parable, if you will, in Old Testament, whenever the servant went to get Isaac's bride, and they came back, and you know the story, she agreed to go meet the man, be the man's bride that she had never met. All Eleazar could do was explain to her what Isaac was like, and she agreed to go. And as they finally get near there, and she sees a man walking in
the field, she had heard enough from that man that was taking her to her groom. She had heard enough that when she got a glimpse of him, she knew who he was. That is a type of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God. Amen. Bringing us, amen, to that final reunion day. And if we were truly baptized with the Holy Ghost, we would not be entertaining those thoughts of turning away. The coming of the Lord is nigh. That would be the foremost thought on our mind. We'd forget our little careless prayers. We'd forget our little selfish prayers and our little self-centered desires. If the Holy Ghost was beating down inside us, we would have a desire. We would know the Lord is a coming. Apostle Paul, as well as our Savior, amen, and I've read to you tonight where they talked about that day. That day. The Bible gives in vivid details of that day. These signs would be clearly discerned, as easily discerned as the trees budding in the spring. Nobody has to tell you that springtime is here. You can see it for yourself. Amen. That day is here. Amen. Throughout the Bible, he warns. Does he not? He warns of weariness. He warns of lamps going out. He warns of being overcharged. He warns of being overwhelmed. He warns of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. He warns of a great falling away. He warns of, because of iniquity, the love of many waxing cold. He warns that that day not overtake you. Jesus said, what I say unto you. Help me preach, Holy Ghost. I want to preach tonight. I want to talk to you about watching. I want you to hear me. I feel like that we probably should, as much as we can sanctifiedly do it, we ought to stay up with the current events of our day as much as we can and keep our minds on God. Amen. But I want to tell you this evening, you can watch the world. You can see it happening, can't you? Some dread it. I do. I had a gut feeling, a dread, Brother James, as they talked about the hierarchy of our government having a debate for 3 days about my future. And then the news anchor said, and it'll be determined somewhere or another behind closed doors in privacy. So much for your arguments. You hearing me preach? Are you listening to me? You could hear it. You could fear it. I do. I dread it. I dread the thoughts of it. I fear it for these young men, for these young girls. I want to tell you, you could turn to CBN. You could turn to CNN. You could do as I do usually almost every morning. You could turn on NPR. Amen. You could go to, and it has even more a religious background, SRN. Amen. All those news stations. You could turn to Fox News. You can watch this whole big wide end time world. You can shake your head and say, man, it's bad and it's pitiful and it's awful what's going on. But my message, I felt God deal with me tonight, is we don't need to just watch the world go down and shake our head. We need to observe us. He said that that day not overtake you, it will overtake the world. It has overtaken the religious world. It has overtaken denominations. But hey, what about you? What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. Hey, watchman, guard your heart, for out of it proceed the issues of life. I want to ask you tonight, I'm not preaching to the young or to the old, I'm preaching to us all. I want you, this ain't a message for you to shovel over on your wife or your husband or your neighbor. I want you tonight, individually, I'm going to make an altar call here in a little bit. I'd like to have some response. I want to ask you, what about you? What about you? I'm wonderful, preacher. I'm fine. Is that right? Is that really right? How's this end time world affecting you? Don't tell me it ain't affecting you. I won't believe you if you tell me that. I know. How's it affecting you? How's the rat race of society affecting you? You still pray like you always did? You preaching with me? Don't draw back. How's it affecting you? You still as on fire as you always was? You still love God? Or are you feeling, would you really, could you really say, if honestly, we pulled alone and got you by yourself, would you have to admit, preacher, really, deep down in my heart, there's a leanness there. I can feel myself. Oh, God. How does it affect you that this world has no fear of God nor any regard for mankind? Amen. How does it affect you living in a world that is totally unthankful and has become unholy? How does it affect you that we live in a world of immorality? I'll tell you how it affects you. How does this indecency affect you? I know how it affects you. You hearing me preach? It'll begin to work on your mind. Honestly, can you feel a change? Can you feel things slipping? Can you feel a voice and hear a voice saying, maybe, just maybe it don't take all that? What does it mean? How does it affect you? I'm preaching on the watchman's last watch. We're in this end time day. How does it affect you that this whole great big corrupt, immoral, indecent world is more religious and far more spiritual and greater, has a greater love for God than you do? How does it affect you when they can start a church and they live like the devil and preach a damnable once in grace doctrine and fill the building to capacity? How does it affect you? Don't tell me it don't affect you. It causes a little voice deep down in your soul to say, I don't understand this. You better be on your guard. Come on here now. Come on here now. You better be watching. You better be watching number one. You better be observing number one. Oh, they go to church and they love God and they quote scriptures and everything's just, it's just wonderful for them. It's affecting you, isn't it? Amen. How does it affect you? This rat race society. I tell you how it affects you. The drive, the push, the demand. Answer me here tonight in your heart. Are you finding yourself eat more easily tempted? Things at one time would have never caused you to blink an eye. Now you find yourself being more easily provoked. Used to, you were very patient. You were very considerate.
You were, to use modern terms, kind of laid back. But you found yourself now short-tempered. And we just justify it. We just push it to the side. Are you preaching with me? Let me tell you something. It's going to affect you. Hey, mama. Hey, daddy. It's going to affect you as your young people looks out at this immoral world. I still believe in a holiness courtship. I know you're coming into that age. We've had a little reprieve right here. We're heading into that hour. And you young folks have shouted and danced and run and just enjoyed the goodness of God. And you've spoken other tongues and you've got the goods. I don't want to be cruel here. So did another group of young folks. But when Brother Selfridge decided and preached to them, you're not doing it. They sat right in this church on these pews after they'd shouted in this church. And they stepped right there and looked me square in the eye and said, you have no Bible at all for what you preach. I've preached it to them since they were babies. You helping me preach? And mamas and daddies, instead of taking their children and standing for what was right, took the side with their children and away they went. Look at some of them now. Lives ruined. Babies out of wedlock. You gonna help me preach? Come on here now. I'm talking about the watchman's last watch. Amen. This is your last chance. If we let this thing slip in this hour, some of them probably will never be back. It ain't that God don't love them. We've watched them come back to the house of God. Tears run down their face. Would give anything to get there. But how many knows you can't see on your mighty bends away. You can't see into the place that God has a troubled time reaching through that mess and you finding the grace in your heart to forgive yourself. It'll affect you. Hear me preach. Young lady, as you begin, you don't have to worry, Brother Rodney's a sanctified preacher. But as you begin to get older, and you begin to get more mature, you'll find it harder to accept a holiness lifestyle of dress. As others, listen to me, boys. As other young girls and young boys want to dress in a more revealing, provocative. I've got a few that's willing to venture out and help me tonight. It's the last watch. Hey man, how is this thing affecting you? Let me take us back to some of the churches in the book of Revelations. We think that it won't affect us, but to the last of the, in the last book of the Bible, we can read about some of these churches, and it stirs my heart that the words that everybody's are saying now, the church is doing good, that everything's going good, but Jesus told the church of Ephesus, he said that thou hast left thy first love. I'm talking to you the last words that he talked to them about. He told the church at Pergamos, I know where Satan's seat's at. I know that thou hast the doctrine of Balaam and the Nicolaitans. He told the church at Thyatira, he rebuked them for holding to the and suffering Jezebel to teach. He told the church of the Laodiceans that thou art lukewarm, sayest that thou art rich, and you don't understand that you're wretched and miserable and blind and poor and naked. And every one of them, his words to them was, repent. And to every one of them, as well as to me and you, his words was, repent. And behold, I come quickly. The watchman's last watch, it's the fourth watch. It won't be the shape of the world, the shape the world's in, that catches me off guard. But it'll be, Sister Nita, it'll be the shape that I'm in, that catches me in this last day.
I've been warned. I've been told. I'm asking you tonight, do you have what it takes to stand in this last day? Are you taking heed to your soul's cry? Are we taking measures of precaution? Say, watchman, what is the what of the night? Amen, oh God. Amen, is it talking to you? He's talking to you. What of the night? What about your family, daddy? Are you a man of God enough? You're on the wall. Have you made the watch strong? Listen to me. He said, I've called you to be a watchman on the wall. And listen to me, preach, mamas and daddies. Their blood will God Almighty require at your hand. You let this world sink its claws in you in any shape, form, or fashion until it pulls you away and you lose that blessing and that wonderful work of God in your life. Do you begin to drift in this world and you begin to lay out of church and lose that fervency and that desire to your children? That spirit gets a hold of your children and the house of God is no longer a priority to them, and you find it harder and harder. When they were young, it was, mommy, I want to go to church. And some have cried when they couldn't go to church, but that won't always be the case if mommy, if daddy lets this world get in their soul.
I'm all right, preacher. I'm a spiritual so-and-so. When we measure ourselves by ourselves and compare ourselves among ourselves, I'm just as good as every young boy and every young youth group. You probably are. That's the problem. Except our righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisee. We shall in no wise enter in. Amen. Preacher, they outdo us by far. What a shame. What a disgrace. Are you hearing me preach? How about it, watchman? What are you? Well, how about your family? Come on here now. When I read this and I studied this late into the night last night, I heard Jesus one more time. Allow me a little room here before you get ahead of me. He said, remember Lot. Because you can't remember Lot's wife if you don't remember Lot. What do you want to do, Lot? Looks pretty promising down that way. I know we're having a little tough around here, Uncle Abraham, and there's a little bit of strife here, and I don't want to cause no problem, and I'll just go on down the road. And he pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the Bible said that the men of that city were sinners exceeding before God. I'm going to tell you something. Our job is demanding. We're on the job lots of times more than we are at home. You're around the men on the job more than you are around your wife and children. If we don't watch, I've been there, brethren. That filthy communications, God's good book said, corrupts good manners. You hear me preach? You ain't married to your job, but you are married to your wife. Somebody say amen. Remember Lot. Lot, you chose it. If you allow this to get in there, to your wife ends up in Sodom. According to the history of God's good word, Lot, you took her down there. But Lot, you couldn't bring her back. And it happened on Lot's watch. Lot, you had enough from God because, not because of you, but because of the prayers of a man that was your uncle, that stood before the Lord and begged God not to destroy you. You had enough influence of godly men in your life that literally the angels, and I believe Jesus himself, came down to see what was going on in Sodom. You had enough that the angels of heaven talked to you. You talking about getting a message from God. And Lot, with your most divine message that you'll ever preach, with the most urgent message that you've ever been entrusted with, boy, you'll go to your family and you'll sound as one that mocks. I'm not leaving, Lot. Go somewhere another. Leave us alone and don't disturb us. Why, Lot, you brought us down here. Why, Daddy, you talked about how tough it was back there with Uncle Abraham. You talked about how you didn't want to argue with that bunch of hard-headed outfits. You talked about how bad it was back there with the man of God. You brought us down here. Now you're saying that God wants us to leave all this. And finally, the angels of God, God being merciful, took him by the hand, him, his wife, and his two daughters, and even with the literal angels from heaven leading them by the hand, Lot, you still can't get your wife out. The watchman's last watch. If you only knew tonight what was eating on your children. If you only knew tonight the things that cross through your young children's mind as they look out at this world. Come on now. You remember the inquisitive nature that you had as a young boy? How about it, Daddy? You remember the questions that run through your mind, Mama, as a young girl? You remember feeling the emotions, the feelings, the I wonder what if. It's the same thing they're going to do. We got a guard. We have put our guard up against anybody else deceiving us or deceiving our children. But how about us deceiving us? Do you know that the Bible warns, while they get ready to get us a song, the Bible warns that they will deceive the very elect, if possible. One man said it wasn't possible. It is a most definite possibility if you don't watch. I'm not worried about any of the televised preachers or any of those guys deceiving me or deceiving you. But every man's ways is right in his own eyes. And that day, we're here. I wonder, has it overtaken us? Not just yet, Brother Michael, but we're feeling the effects of it. We're feeling the effects of it. Amen. You can't tell me, I know. You can't tell me no different. You spend a week out of the house of God and you work your job. I understand. We can't quit our job. But you spend a week out yonder. If we are not, instead of borrowing the phrase, on our toes, if we're not on our knees in that week's time, you're going to come back in the house of God. And that old saying said, 7 days without church makes 1 week. You know that sometimes on Friday evening, the old thought of, probably wouldn't hurt to miss tonight. few years ago, that thought wasn't there. That Spirit of God beat so strong in your heart. That surge was in there. You was going to be at the house of God at all cost that day. It's beginning to affect you. That darkness, Brother Mark spoke about it a while ago. Oh, the darkness. Jesus said, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness. That day, they watched in the evening watch. According to the history books, Haley's Bible Handbook, all them books on the history of the church, we saw revivals. We saw God moving. We saw God touching. We saw Him fall away. The midnight hour come. But oh, tonight, church, the cock crowing, the turn of the century preachers, Jonathan Edwards, and all them great men of God that turned the church over, made a difference in men's lives. They cried in that dark hour. And now we're just in the gray areas. And I remember Sister Thelma, they used to sing a song when I was a boy. My dear Aunt Omi sung it. The darkest hour is just before dawn. And oh, it's in your watch, Mommy and Daddy. We've downed the Church of God. We've downed a lot of the other groups as they've allowed worldliness to overtake them because somebody failed to observe. As little spirits got to getting in their children. One pastor friend of mine that preached here just a few nights ago, pastored for about 22 years. He said, I preached to them. He said they never did pray through over it. They just kind of partially concealed it and moved up to a certain point. And you know how it is. We work and pull and try and be patient. And he said, then children came along. And then grandchildren came along. And he said, we was back at square one dealing with the same things because Mommy and Daddy didn't pray through over it on our watch. How are we going to do, young men? How are we going to do? Are we going to grow up to have the Spirit of God in us? Are we going to grow up to have a move of God? Got a birthday Thursday. 8 years old. Watch, Daddy. Watch. Watch, Mommy. We ain't got 5 minutes to drift off. Watch. Watch, Daddy. Watch. Watch you. Watch, Daddy. Come here. Come here. He won't always be this size. Watch. He won't always be a little boy wishing Daddy'd come home. He won't Don't always be looking for daddy's boots. Watch. Watch. A few short years will quickly slip by. Where'd the time go? Who's that stranger? What is that that's got a hold of my children? I feel the Holy Ghost breathing on my soul. You are the most self-centered, self-loving person ever was. If you allow your own hurt feelings, bitterness, or whatever cause you to cause your children to get out of the house of God. Surely you are mature enough to bury all that and don't ever let them hear one thing about it and promote Jesus Christ and push him. This is the best way. You say, preacher, you ain't never been hurt. Well, just go right on ahead and think all that you want to think. I've been down the road a time or two. I refuse to display and cause people to go to hell because of what somebody else done. As God said, what about me? I ain't done you that way. I want to ask you tonight to be real honest with yourself. Take a deep look within. What are you seeing? Can you say, cleanse me, O God. Search me. Try me. Know my heart. See if there's anything in there, God. This world affects you. I told Brother Branyan today, yesterday, me and Sister Pam had to go to Knoxville, or did go to Knoxville. You can't be, you couldn't spend, I'm not saying it's wrong to go, but you couldn't spend one day in that West Town Mall, one day, and walk up and down that mall and deal with the sights and the sounds and the spirits without it affecting you. You hear me? Young folks want to know why mommy and daddy keeps a tight rein on you? Because they love you. One day you'll slip that rein off. You'll go your way. You can read what you want to read. You can watch what you want to watch. You can look at, you can wear what you want to wear. But tonight I stand here before you. And I'm asking you while they get ready to sing, if you'll stand with us. I'd like for you, it's the watchman's last watch. It ain't popular preaching. But Sister Thelma's kind of how they preach to me. Young folks, you may not make it to be 18. The good Lord could come back just about any given time. Oh, when I get 18, when I get 21, I understand your dream. That's a norm. But also bear in your mind, time may not last that long. What of the night? Watchman, what of the night? I set thee on a wall. You're watching your family. You're watching your soul. How about it, Dad? How about it, husband? You're the strong vessel. Your wife ought not be the spiritual leader. You want to be the man and the boss. You be the one to lead the prayer. You be the one to initiate us go to the house of God. You be the one to read the Bible. You're the watchman. God will hold you accountable. You hearing me? One last note. You're the watchman with me in this church house. If you see him come.
Oh, yes. Cry loud.
You see him come, Brother James. And I'm over here trying to build up this wall. Would you help me? If you see him coming in an angle, and I'm over here busy on this corner, would you set the trumpet to your mat? Please don't no one take that silly-fied, foolish way of, I don't want to say nothing. I don't want to get involved. I don't want to cause trouble. I don't want to cause Brother Rodney heartache. My God in heaven, if the devil gets in here, cause more heartache than you could ever imagine. And I charge every one man and woman, young men and girls, help me keep this thing pure, would you? They're going to sing.
Open your eyes, you battle-scarred soldier.
How about it tonight?
We're closer than ever before.
How about it, young folk? What's in that heart?
He may appear.
What's really down in there?
Before a new dawn.
I know you love the Lord. I know
His
you love God, but
coming is nigh at the door.
I know
so
you feel the Spirit of God.
Eyes,
but I also know you feel the Spirit of this
you
world.
You battle-scarred soldier. We're closer than ever before.
It's your last watch. Good brethren, good
he
sisters.
May appear
you'll never have
before
this day again. You'll never
his
have the year 2011 again.
The
2012 is already swiftly into the fourth month.
Men will be lovers of self more than lovers of God.
Some of you, the years of the 20s have done
filled
gone.
With vain pride, worldly pleasures
you're in the 30s.
Draw them away.
The 40s will be here soon.
But if we're
watch.
His children, we must feel the chastening rod. For those that love, he will teach them to trust
watch.
And obey.
Take
so
measures.
Open your eyes.
Do whatever you got to do.
You battle-scarred soldier. We're closer than ever before.
Take measures of precaution.
He may appear.
Be on guard. Don't be the sleeping sentry.
Dawning. His coming
it's
is
it's time
nigh
to set the trumpet
the
to your mouth. Cry out to your own soul.
Some people believe
God to help
that his coming is still far away. They often grow weary, and so often they lay down their load. Just up ahead are the signs of a much brighter day. Don't lay down the cross, child. We're to the end of the way. Open your eyes, you battle-scarred soldiers. We're closer than ever before. Oh, he may appear before a new dawn is. His coming is nigh at the door. Men will be lovers of self more than lovers of God. Filled with vain pride, worldly pleasures have drawn them away. But if we're his children, we must feel the chastening rod. For those that he loves, he will teach them to trust and obey. Open your eyes, you battle-scarred soldiers. We're closer than ever before. He may appear before a new dawning. His coming is nigh at the door. Some people believe His coming is still far away. They often grow weary, and so often they lay down their load. Just up ahead are the signs of a much brighter day. Don't lay down the cross, child. We're too near the end of the road. So open your eyes, you battle-scarred soldiers. We're closer than ever before. And He may appear before a new dawning. His coming is nigh at the door. So open your eyes, you battle-scarred soldiers. We're closer than ever before. Oh, He may appear before a new dawning. His coming is nigh at the door. Men will be lovers of self more than lovers of God. Filled with vain pride, worldly pleasures have drawn them away. If we're His children, we must feel the chastening rod. For those that He loves, He will teach them to trust and obey. So open your eyes, you battle-scarred soldiers. We're closer than ever before. And He may appear before a new dawning. His coming is nigh at the door. Some people believe that His coming is still far away. And so often they lay down their load. But just up ahead are the signs of a much brighter day. Don't lay down the cross, child. You're too near the end of the road. So open your eyes, you battle-scarred soldiers. We're closer than ever before. And He may appear before a new dawning. His coming is nigh at the door. So open your eyes, you battle-scarred soldiers. We're closer than ever before. Oh, He may appear before a new dawning. His coming is nigh at the door. Men will be lovers of self more than lovers of God. Filled with vain pride, worldly pleasures have drawn them away. But if we're His children, we must feel the chastening rod. For those that He loves, He will teach them to trust and obey. So open your eyes, you battle-scarred soldiers. We're closer than ever before. Oh, he may appear before a new dawning. His coming is nigh at the door.
Appreciate the Lord. I appreciate that good preaching. I sure want to be a watch. I sure don't want to be asleep at that day. Catch me unaware, Brother Mike. I want that. I want to be a watchman, especially for my wife and little boy. I don't want this stuff to overtake us. I don't want my mind to get this somewhere out there. I remember that message Brother Tommy preached. Caught in scattered thought, Brother Joe. I don't want my mind just in scattered thoughts all the time of thinking and of wondering. And I want to be a man of God. I want to be one that seeks God and for direction in my life and for my family. And I don't want to fail God in no way. And these kids, you know, we can live right. And, you know, I was thinking about what Brother Ronnie was talking about, courtship and things, and I appreciate the Lord. I had a sanctified courtship, Brother Rodney, and I ain't ashamed one bit of it. Me and Sister Monica, when we dated, we never held hands. We never kissed. Brother Greg got the honors to say at my wedding, you may kiss the bride for the first time. And I think that's an honor, you know, and I still believe in that. And I still believe in these young kids and having a sanctified courtship and keeping your hands off one another, Brother Rodney. It's a must. And we had somebody with us everywhere we went. Most times that little knothead sitting in the back there. He went with us and even threatened on going with us on our honeymoon, Brother Rodney. He just got so used to going with us everywhere, Brother James. And I appreciate the Lord for my brother-in-law. I got a good brother-in-law. But, you know, it wasn't that I was worried about what my father-in-law might say or my mother-in-law. You know, I had a love for the Lord, Brother Joe. I wanted to do things pleasing in His eyes. I had a love for Him, Brother Bug. I wanted to do stuff pleasing in His eyes. And I appreciate the Lord. I appreciate the Lord for this good preaching. Sometimes we need stirred. You know, our hearts need stirred. My, I want to be a watch. I don't want to be at that day take me unaware. My, wouldn't it be awful to live this way and just get caught up in the last few days here, Brother Ronnie? Just in the last few days, it can happen. We've seen it. My, I lived this way for years. And just right here in the closing out hour, people just throw in the towel. Forget about it. My, I don't want to be one of those. I want to stand guard. Somebody else testify. Say something for the Lord. Right. That's right.
And it does affect because when they walk away, what they say, sure, it sticks in my mind.
Right.
But I ask, you know, I'm glad I've got a God that, Lord, you know, please help me.
Come on, Brother Martin.
It does affect me. That word, it does.
Right. Sure.
And, you know, life affects me. Sometimes it seems like life is moving along so fast.
Yeah.
Just like you just
can't keep up.
You know,
Demas.
But
Demas. Yeah. Demas.
I
no.
Hey, this preaching ain't outdated.
No.
Hey, reality check.
That's right. That's right. Right.
You know, sometimes we live, you know, in this world, and with that God, it just seems like it's just going on. No. You know, I'm almost 43-year-old. I didn't think, you know. I mean, almost 43-year-old. But you know, I appreciate preaching, Brother Rodney, and I think, well, it's not that day to me. Thank God for it. Hey, God pitched me right there when I'm
yeah. Yeah. Wake us up. That's right.
The devil would love to have me back here.
Yes.
He'd love it.
Right.
You know, I love God.
Yes.
I love Him. He is the God of my life, my wife's life, and our home. And
right.
I don't want to let the devil come out of home. I've seen it.
Yes,
I've seen what the devil can do to home. And I appreciate
Strong.
I love the Lord. I thank God for work this week. He's blessing our work, and I appreciate God for preaching like this.
Yes.
And you can go to your prayer chamber this week, God. Thank you. Thank Him that even though it looks like the world is just going on and on and on, that there is an end to it. But in the Bible, but I do not want to be the next one beside that word. But, you know, He lived. He said He lived. But, He said He loved this.
But.
I appreciate preaching like this. I appreciate the Lord. Hey, shake me, God. Shake me. Pinch me. Let me know. Let me know. You know, hey, if you don't watch, I will be watching, brother.
Yeah.
God. I appreciate the Lord. Because the devil, the adversary, is growing. He's growing.
Right.
Look at a little space. That gap right there says, hey, just to get in. He gets in. You know, I mean, story.
That's right. Oh, yes. Somebody else want to glorify the Lord. Come on, Brother Mike. I believe it.
And we can have these kids if they never walk out of here.
Come on, Brother Mike.
Brother Rodney, that I may fall asleep just as much as I got hope that I can raise my boys up right and go back there in that Sunday school class and teach them the right way.
I believe it.
But I also fear that I can go to sleep. But there's something down inside me that says, son, I believe, if I'll just believe, Brother Rodney, that what I prayed about on the altar, that tomorrow I may face the devil.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a God that's going to go around the corner. I hate to say it, but I realize, man, I could fall asleep just at any moment.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm saying, God, stir me, Pastor. Stir me up, Pastor. I need that. I need these men. I need this move of God in my life, man. I'm worried.
Come on, oh, yeah.
Just as much as I fear, there's somebody that loves me way up on me. That says we can have it. We can make it. We can do it. We can run. They can shout when they're 10 and 12. It's the same as they can shout when they're 24 and 25.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on. Yeah.
10 times more than I.
That's right.
I believe they can. I believe they can.
Come on.
I believe we can take what the pastor said and we can run with it. We can be like David and said, I'm not going to tire down. There's a big devil right there.
Come on.
Keep his mouth shut. And I'm going to stand guard. I'm going to make sure that devil don't get in my home.
That's right.
Come on.
Hey! Come on.